There we are. I'm sorry. I was taken up in the spirit. He just let me back down. We're going to take all this stuff out here. Glory to God. I got here late. And late for me. And they were doing a practicing worship, and I went back and I just didn't watch the time. Sorry. Glory to God. Wow. So I hear you had a good time last week with Mike teaching on the righteousness of God, I think is what he spoke on. He said it was good. All right. Glory to God. I'm glad that he could have done that and was part of it. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. How gracious and how wonderful and how marvelous you are. Oh, how we love you. Go with us today. Help us to share our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're back from, we had a little trip last week. It was our 45th wedding anniversary, and we just had a lot of time alone together, and that was absolutely incredible. We also, God, it's there are times that you need that just to draw away and hear from God, and we just love being together and we're each other's favorite person, so. But we had an opportunity to minister graciously to a friend of mine that's not a believer. And I tell you what, these last couple of weeks have been such a remarkable time in my own life, in our lives together. It has just been fascinating watching God. For the most part, God's bringing us everybody that we've had to minister to. But on the weekend, that weekend, I had a business associate. He's much older than me. I think he's 84. And I had worked with him probably since the 80s. And he manufactured, he's a brilliant man, manufactured a piece of equipment that I use. And I've maintained a relationship with him all the year, and his wife as well, and they would come to the to our physics meetings, and so we maintain a relationship, and I've shared my faith with him and his wife. His wife seemed to have an unusual spiritual connection, but it was kind of an odd. I'm not sure what to make. She would tell us about things that she had seen and visions that she had and stuff like that. But just pray. I'd tell them, I pray for them and share the gospel with them from time to time. And so I'd lost track of him. I thought retired, and he had had, I believe he had had a stroke or something. Something had happened to him a few years ago and kind of stepped away. And I thought he was selling his business. And I ended up reaching out to him. I felt led to. I found out the week before we left that he was still alive and he was actually back in business at 84. So don't tell me you can't do something, because you're too old or too infirmed or whatever. And so we felt led, I felt led, and then I said, Kath, what do you think? And then I found out when I talked to him the week before that his wife had passed away in June, and I just felt sadness and sorrow for him, and he was doing okay with it. They had been married 60 some years, I forget, 65 I think, before her death. And he said she had had dementia and eventually died. But he was back working. I said, if we get an opportunity, could I come and visit you? And he said, oh yeah. So we did. We took an opportunity. What day was that? Saturday or Monday? No, it was Monday. We took the opportunity to go down and visit him in his house, which is where his place of business. And you walk into this Here's the ultimate scientist, you know, working on stuff, you know. And he's a brilliant programmer, and I looked up at his books, and he programs in one of the power languages, and you know, writes in C and all kinds of stuff. I mean, at 84 years old, you know, is really. And we just had I just had a time of sharing with him, and you know, I said, Bo, I'm gonna keep praying for you, and he said, I know. And so I tried to engender some conversation towards that, and you know, and he just said, well, I don't know. I said, you know, an eternity you face probably a little quicker than me. And I do know where I'm going to go in eternity and stuff. And then, but I felt led to pray. I said, all right, well, let me pray for you. And so I prayed for him, and I just was strangely moved to pray for him at that moment. But it was just wonderful at that opportunity. We don't know where that's going to go, but I'm going to maintain that relationship with him and see. But it has been remarkable watching God this last couple of weeks do some things. I want you to know, people, God wants to do something large. He does. Is Alex here? No? Okay. Some of you may have heard of what happened in Saudi Arabia about 3 weeks ago. Has anybody heard of it? Oh, wow. Okay. You know, he has that ministry that sends people into, whoa, be careful. You know where he sends people to. Okay. And they go in visiting, and they do whatever evangelism, whatever coffee house, whatever kind of stuff. Yeah. And they go for a couple weeks. And a lot of these are, he showed me a video, Asian. And a lot of them are South Korean. So South Koreans, if you know things about what it's like in South Korea, these people are crazy. They're crazy for God. You know, they have these churches with, you know, they have seven services that 60,000 people come in and out each service. You know, a lot of assemblies of God. So they go in and they do this. Well, they lead a man to the Lord. And so they give him a Bible, and he starts reading Matthew. Comes to Matthew 28 about baptism. Says, I want to be baptized. Okay, but we're in a desert. Hasn't rained in forever. Nobody can remember. So they pray. God, intervene. I need to find some place to get baptized. So what do you think God does? It rains within a few hours. It pours. He got baptized in rainwater. International news, I can share that with you. International news says, the heavens opened, and 4 million people are drenched. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's amazing. And this is an international news service is saying that the heavens open, and the people that, you know, this is the month of Hajj. So if you're a good Muslim, you need to go once in your lifetime. So these people get drenched by rain, and you know, there was thunder and lightning and all kinds of stuff. That was so cool. That's the kind of stuff God wants to do. He does. He really does. He wants to do some amazing things. And so, I mean, we went on our trip thinking about all that. And you know, God has given me opportunities even before that and after, and I'll talk to you about some of them. But I want you to, you know, begin to realize something. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to work through each of you. He does. You think about what it might mean if all you did was pray for one person and you saw that one person come to Christ. What that might mean. What would be cooler yet is for you never to meet that person. But it'd be somebody that God puts on your heart in some faraway country. Now you think about that man that got saved. I mean, all of a sudden the Word of God starts to fill his heart and he becomes an evangelist. And God protects him. And he begins to do some things in his own language, in his own country, that's way beyond what anybody could think about. You imagine that? That's what God wants to do through each of us. So let's look at... You did get the stuff that will be for the next couple of weeks. Okay, so everybody gets that. Let's look at Q. It says, he anointed Christ specifically, Acts 10:38. Now, I want you to turn to that Acts 10:38. We're going to talk later about what the anointing of the Holy Spirit means. But I want you to look at this verse. And I don't know if you have a Bible you can write in. If you don't, then give that one away and get one that you can. Okay? Don't throw it away. I used to have a friend that said, well, throw it away and get one that you can. No. You give it away to someone, but get one that you can write in. So I'm going to read this verse. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So in parentheses there, where it says Jesus of Nazareth, you could write above it or on the side, whatever. I want you to put your name. Because that's what can happen. Now Jesus didn't have a degree, did he? He didn't have a rich father. Oh, his heavenly father was, you know, incredible. But, I mean, his earthly father was not. Lived poor and simply and just walked through life. And during these ministry periods, this ministry period of time, he just walked. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And God was with him. That's the same thing that can happen to you. Just walk through life, and God will anoint you. To do what? To do good. To help in the healing of those oppressed by the devil. Notice how he defines healing in here. That much of healing is oppression by the devil. And I believe it's a fourth or a fifth or a third of all the miracles of Christ were deliverance from evil spirits. I believe it's something like that. So, I mean, this is one definition of healing. It's not all. You know, remember the man that was born blind was born to glorify God. It wasn't something that Satan... So that's not every sickness, but some of them are. And God was with him. And that's what he did in that. And God will do that. He'll put you in places where you can minister to people. And he will, for that moment, he's put you there because he has led you there. And he will use you. I had a situation with a lost person. Not last week, the week before we left. Just a couple of days we left. And a lost person. And so wants to put Jesus on the shelf with everybody else that he thinks are God's people, are his entrances into God. He wants me to say, okay, you just make Jesus part of this. And I know some things that the Holy Spirit is doing. In the lost person, he's convicting him of sin, righteousness, and future judgment. I know that. That's something, you know, it's in Scripture, and so he's doing it. So I know that. So I pushed him. I said, you don't know. I said, you know your sin, but you don't know forgiveness from it. You don't know that, do you? You know. And I said, because of forgiveness and my faith in the finished work of Christ, I have peace with God. And it's like a sword stuck in him. He knows, he doesn't, he's seeking, oh, he's reading all this other stuff and listening to all these YouTubes and all this kind of stuff, but he doesn't have peace. And he wants that so bad. But I held his feet to the fire for the gospel. No. You want peace with God? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It was an incredible moment. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't, you know, I think I had my phone, but God just continued to give me scriptures. It just, and it was like sticking swords in him, you know. But it ministered to him. I mean, he's not there yet, but, you know, and I walked out of there flying, you know. Not that, you know, that he wasn't saved yet, but that God used me in that way. And I didn't do anything. I just went to his office. I want to share something with you. And, you know, he closes the door. He says, we're not talking about business. We're, you know, you know, that kind of stuff. And I thought, wow, God. And that's what God wants to do. Let's look at, and we're going to talk about anointing and how God does that. It's different from the filling of the Holy Spirit, but it's as a result. An anointing. I mean, God can anoint a donkey to speak, but he wants to anoint, you know, Bill Kroll and, you know, Vaughn and, you know, Billy back there. You're not out of this. Okay? Just because you sit on the back row. He does. He wants to anoint you. All right, let's look at R. He fills believers with righteousness, hope, joy, love, and peace. He fills you. Now, this is the God of the universe. This is R in the... I'm sorry, R in this... It's not in the new stuff. It's the old stuff I gave you. It's last week's. Or this is new. Right, under the third person of the Trinity. I'm sorry. There you go. We're still talking about that. We won't talk about this stuff that I gave you until next several weeks. Yeah, I think it's page 19. No, mine is not page 19. You don't have page numbers on yours? Okay. Anyways, I have the teachers, whatever. But R, he fills the believers with righteousness, hope, joy, love, and peace. Do you understand what this means and know and experience these things in your own life? Romans 5:5, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know what that means for the love of God to be poured out in your heart? To see the worst of sinners and to sense, God, that person, unless he comes to Christ, will spend an eternity and I will never see him again or her. That's the love of Christ that reaches out into a person. Reaches out from a person that's poured out in your heart. And to think that God himself, God the Holy Spirit, does that for you. How much will he give you? As much as you want. And you know how he fills you? You get empty of all that you are. You'd be willing to say, God, take it all away. And that's hard. I tell you what, but I tell you what, your willingness to say, God, drop away all this stuff. I'm willing to take everything. Whatever dear that might be to me, that I might find this. Now, some things are easy to give up and, you know, those kinds of things, but you really want to be filled with God? He'll touch that thing that touches, that it, you want to, you know, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's whatever. That willingness in God to give up all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean, Jerry? I mean, does that mean I have to start a ministry and a website and all that? No! Yeah, do any of that stuff. You know? Just be led by God. See what he does. You know, I've told the story of Sevilla Flood. She was the missionary in Africa, in, I think it was Congo. I think it was. I can't remember. It may not have been. Sevilla Flood, she was, her and her husband went to be missionaries. They were from, I think, Finland. And she was, and they came there, and the African chief wouldn't let them come into the village. So there was this young boy that would come up and sell them eggs. And she was pregnant. Soon after they got there, she was pregnant at the time. So she would, this is the only thing they could do at this point. They were frustrated trying to figure out what to do. So she would witness to this kid. She'd learn the language, and she'd share the gospel with him. Well, she ends up dying. And the child is born, she dies. And I can't remember whether it was malaria or whatever. She just dies right after the birth of the child. The husband goes off the deep end. He doesn't handle that. He doesn't know what to do with it. He leaves. He hands the baby off to another mission couple. He says, I can't do this. Goes back to his country and becomes an alcoholic. The baby... The missionaries don't know what to do, and, you know, it's kind of, it wasn't even legal, but they end up going back to the United States to care for the child and have her grow up. Because it doesn't seem like their mission is going to be, they were kind of friends couple, and is going to go anyplace. She grows up, and, you know, they tell her who she is, and she knows that. And so she reads... When she's an adult married with children, she reads in a, I think it's some type of, whatever the church they were, I think they were, she was Swedish. So a Swedish religious, like free church publication. And they show a picture of the grave of Sevilla Flood. And there's a celebration 25 years later of her death. What happened to that kid? He came to Christ. He grew up, went to Bible college, came back to his nation, and had a church of 100,000 people. You could do that. They celebrated her life after 25 years. She went and was participant in that celebration. That's what you could do, filled with the love of God. I was talking with a lady that came to the Lord last year, and this is something. To see this lady, and I've known her for a few years before she came to Christ, and the pain and the difficulty and the abuse that she has gone through as a person from a young child, and it is so horrific. It would be hard to share it, and I don't want, because it's recorded. But, you know, I thought, you know, knowing her as a non-believer, and watching her seek and come, and I thought, wow, God. Everything you've heard, this was magnified and multiplied in this young lady. Everything. I mean, every kind of abuse that you could think of. And then it brought her own life into entering into relationships that were just wrong. Event in a marriage that was just wrong. And God eventually brings her to him. And he cleanses her from all that unrighteousness. And now
She has a ministry among her husband's family, who's he died in and was removed from the situation, and other people on her side of the family, all of which are messed up from all the same kinds of things that she endured. I mean, I sat there listening, and she's ministering to them. She's just, because she said, "What do I do?" I said, "This is your mission field. See what God will lead you to do. You know, maybe it's making a meal. Maybe it's sitting and talking. Maybe it's doing this. Whatever. Let God lead you through this process." And she's gotten in a good church, and they're training her and those kinds of things. She's very established in that. And she was telling me about a situation that had been in her past, and I'm thinking, why don't I hear the pain of this? Why don't I feel that pain that she's carrying of having gone through that? And then she says to me, I said, what is your sense towards this situation? She said, well, I'm not bothered by it at all. She says, I'm just trying to figure out how to pray. And she says, would it be wrong to feel joy? I said, no. I said, what it tells me is that you have been healed from that unrighteousness, and now you're hearing from God as to what to do in that situation. I thought, wow. You know, I got to have you talk one day. You know, I got a bunch of people that need to hear this. And it will be at a time. God's going to bring her into a place in which she's going to be able to share that. But to see someone filled with joy, emptied of unrighteousness, and filled with, and knowing that she walks in this robe of righteousness that God has given her by faith in Jesus Christ, I thought, whoa. But then, see, that's what God wants. I don't care what you've walked through. I don't care how big and difficult it is. He said he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And sometimes it's stuff you had nothing to do with. You didn't try to become unrighteous. You know, stuff that was just happened to you. You didn't do that. But God, I remember telling her early on when she came to the Lord, I said, because she said, why? Why did I have to go through all this to get to here? And I said, because God put you in that place. He let you walk through all that. And I said, he protected you from other stuff. But he let you walk through this because he wants you to use that as a ministry on his behalf. He wants to use you. And you will be able to talk to people I could never even, they'd walk away from me. They wouldn't even come to me, you know, to listen to me. They wouldn't turn on they wouldn't come to a church. They won't do anything. But you can go and talk to them. You're developing a ministry because she is filled with peace and joy. And look, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with degrees or any of those kinds of things. You know, any kind of ordination or whatever. It's just being there where God wants you to do and being filled with these things and pressing God. God, I want to know what it means to be filled with peace and joy and covered with your righteousness. Not a righteousness of my own by fasting or whatever. And those are all good things. Reading my Bible 3 times a day, or those are things, all things are good. But they don't lead to righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All joy. All. I've told you this before, but go through the writings of Paul and look at every all. You can do that now on your phone. You can pull up every all out of, or whatever app you might use. But look at every all. Paul was a man to say, you're all God. You're all part of God's all given you everything. You're all. Go read and look through that. But he uses that word all because God is everything. As to the believer, you've got everything.
Let's look at S. He anoints preaching and brings power. Should this happen today? And I just go through a bunch of scriptures here. Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That's scary for us, isn't it? I'm going to take the fear out of that whole thing right now. What was this gift of tongues? I just want a little aside. It was, we don't know whether those people spoke in the languages of all the people. Remember, it was the day of Pentecost in which people from all over the world were there. Every tribe and nation were there. And so they began hearing in their own language. Now, whether they spoke those languages or whether the Holy Spirit translated it from there, they heard it in their own language. I'm going to tell you a story. This happened not too long ago, some years ago, actually, but I was there. Bill Roop is a missionary in Morocco. I was driving along one day with him. That was 2000, what? When we were there? Three, something like that. And I was driving along with him, and he says, "Oh, you got to pray. We got this brother. I have met him. He was from Argentina." So the Spanish can get into Muslim countries, and often they will feel a burden to go to Muslim countries and preach. And they can get in very easily. They can get visas, lifetime visas. They can, it's easy for them to cross into that border. So it's a natural thing for them to want to go into Muslim countries and preach. And so he spoke Muslim Arabic like a Texas man trying to speak Spanish. Donde esta el, And so he says, "The Moroccans come to me and they say he's painful. They try to hear him." And he'd been there 7 years. Without thinking about it, I said, "Oh, Bill, he needs the gift of tongues." He's, "What? What are you talking about?" I said, "He needs the gift of tongues. I want you to take a couple brothers and you go lay hands on him. Ask God to give him the gift of tongues." Okay? He says, "Because we're thinking of sending him home, that he just can't make it here." So a couple weeks later, they do that. And about a month later, Bill calls me. I said, "Cool." Every year, they would get together all the missionaries that were there. I don't know if they're where they were meeting, but they would get all, and they'd have a retreat time. So they were in a prayer time. They're kind of the down on your knees, calling out before God kind of thing. And a brother stands up and begins praying. Perfect Moroccan Arabic. Bill looks up, and it's that man. That is the gift of tongues. Okay, there's another phase to it, but we won't talk about that at this point. But that's the gift of tongues. They said, "You're free to go anywhere in the country you want to." They sent him off to go do whatever God had him to do. That's what God wants to do crazy stuff, I tell you what. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, Peter was a fisherman. Peter was just a fisherman. He had rough hands. He was a businessman. He was weathered. I don't know if they fought sharks, but in the Sea of Galilee, but he was a tough guy. God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he gives that first sermon, he gives the next sermon, he goes to the house of Cornelius, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't care about those kinds of things. But God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and look what happened. 3,000, or was it 5,000 one time, 3,000 the next, and then, beginning of the ministry to the Gentiles, those kinds of things. That's what God wants to do. Chapter 6, verse 8. The next one, verse 31. And when they prayed, this is everybody that's in the house, the place where they gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That's everybody there. That's what you could do. Filled with the presence of God. Chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. This is before he was killed.
He was performing by the power of the Holy Spirit great signs and wonders. Chapter 13, verse 9. Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's a pretty difficult one, but he spoke to a sorcerer and he became blind. But what's interesting, this proconsul is sitting there watching that, and he says, "I believe, glory to God." You know? So even in a very difficult, go home and read that one, 13, 9, and 10, and 11, I think. Verse 52, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That comes with, you know, part of the ministry is joy, filling your heart. First Corinthians 4, is it 420 or 2:4? My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And Paul says, I came to you, to the Corinthians, in weakness. We don't know what that means. Maybe he had been sick or those kinds of things. So he says, I came to you in weakness, but God spoke to me through power. You can accomplish stuff on a sick bed. John, now what's interesting here, I've included John 16, 8 through 15. And these are all the Spirit's work, that he's working with you. You know, he's all the things that the Spirit has accomplished to the lost and to the believer. So it's not you doing the work. It's not you figuring it out, you know, what do I use? You know, how do I can't evangelize, you know. But can you greet somebody? Sure you can. Can they become a prayer burden for you? Is there a relative or something that's just hurting? You know, God sent you into their life. And you can share out of your own life and you can begin to be part of them. You know, I still get calls from my my Hindu friends that are, you know, they're sick. I've told you about them. And now his house is filled. His sister-in-law has now got cancer, and then her husband is depressed because, you know, his wife has cancer, and they have all this money, you know, and they can't do anything about it. And so, you know, he calls me the other day, and he's telling me all this stuff. He said, well, you tell Ramesh I'm praying for him. So, okay, and I said, Kathy and I are going to come see you. We're going to have some Indian food and suffer through the heat. And we're going to see God, you know, and we're going to come pray for you. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians, Romans 15, 18 and 19. For I have not presumed to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. So Paul is speaking out of his own testimony. That's really important, I think, if God gives you opportunity to speak, is you're going to speak loudest through what God has done through you. Not quoting, you know, not what Google hath wrought. Okay? We used to say, what has Xerox wrought? But that dates me. I remember when the Xerox was invented and the fax. In fact, I know the inventor. I don't know, I'm getting old. Yeah, I knew him. He worked for, is it Kodak? I think they were the ones that created the fax machine. But, yeah, it's not what Google hath wrought. It's what God has done in your own heart. I mean, look at that. I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. What God did through me and my ability and God giving me opportunity to speak to the Gentiles has brought righteousness and obedience in word or deed towards Christ. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now God gave Paul a large ministry. Maybe give you a small ministry. One person. Who knows? It's interesting to see, you know, what's happening to this lady. You know, all of a sudden, you know, all kinds of people are being affected. I could never touch. None of them have ever been to church. But the power of the gospel is now penetrating those people. And I tell you what, the depth of the unrighteousness is incredible. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction." I've told God about teaching this. I said, "God, if all I did is stand up here and weep, that's fine. It's fine. I don't care to be super eloquent or anything. I care to see eternity embedded in your heart. And for you to say, wow, God, I didn't realize I could do that. I need to know you better and better. Show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me." 1 Peter 1:12, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you." And this is talking about the prophets of old. They didn't know exactly what was happening. "And these things which are now announced to you by those through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look." So he's talking about the prophets. The prophets, you know, God gave them words and they didn't know where it was going to go. They said, wow, this is, you know, it was like looking through a fog mirror. It has something to do with the future and the future Messiah, but we don't know all that we're saying. And then men, God gave, revealed it to the men that read the Old Testament and they began to preach. And that's what God wants to do. Reveal himself to you so that you speak through your own life into those individuals. Wow, glory to God. Okay, we will start on the... I want to read one thing to you. We got one minute. I was communicating with somebody and this came to me, and it was written, a song written by D.A. Whittle. D.A. Whittle, or D.W. Whittle, was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. He was a major in the Union Army during the Civil War. And another guy, they were all sitting around talking, and he says, "I don't like the song, I Need Thee Every Hour." He says, I walk with God moment by moment. So D.A. Whittle took that phrase, and he wrote this song, moment by moment. What's interesting, that song eventually gets to England, and guess who gets touched by it is Andrew Murray, the great writer on the Holy Spirit. And Andrew Murray says, "This is the creed song of my life," and pivoted off of that. "Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory does shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he doth not bear, never a sorrow that he doth not share, moment by moment, I'm under his care. Never a heartache, never a groan, never a teardrop, never a moan. Never a danger, but there on the throne, moment by moment, he thinks of his own. Never a weakness that he doth not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal. Moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus my Savior abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept by his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking till Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine." You know, we sing a lot of songs about the future coming of Christ and that, well, we're going to get out of all this. This is a song about living right now with God. All right, glory to God. Lord, we ask that you would bless this word, write eternity on our hearts. Thank you for what you've done in my own heart in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.